Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Illicit Acquiescence, A Forbidden Romance, by G. Elena, narrated by Eve Leonard and Javi Wilder. Prologue. Eliana. Moving back home sucks. Moving back in with your parents at 23? Even worse. There's nothing that can convince me that having to come back to my hometown and living with my parents won't become a dumpster fire of a mess, a colossal nightmare. I spent the last 5 years in Florida getting my bachelor's in pre-med and starting medical school. It wasn't easy, but it was a challenge I knew I wanted to face. But then something changed. Before entering my second year of medical school, I felt nothing. No passion, no enticement, no desire to continue this path. This wasn't me. I never quit. I never let a challenge be too much where I give up halfway. And that's what I felt like when I turned in my withdrawal documents. It felt like I became a shell of a person I no longer wanted to be. I had to crack that shell and figure out what the fuck I wanted to do with my life. And what did I want to do? I had no idea. But I do know that what I was doing was under the control of my parents' decision. Having my mother come from a family of very successful professionals, from lawyers to surgeons, I had to fit the mold to please her. And backing down from a challenge to prove to her that I am capable of doing such wasn't my forte. It ultimately led me down the path of wasting the last 5 years on a dream that was no longer mine. It wasn't really mine to begin with, anyway. It was all for her, and she still didn't seem happy. So, as much as moving back home sucks, it's the only option I've got left. It better be worth it. 1. Eliana. My feet hit the pavement as I take proper breaths, the windy air punching my lungs as I finish my morning run. Only one more block and I'm home. My eyes glance everywhere as I pick up my pace and increase my breathing. New Haven, Connecticut is beautiful in August. The leaves are displaying more colors, signaling autumn. My favorite time of the year. Even the leaves that begin their descent to the ground bring a beautiful sight around town. The colors of the transition from summer to autumn are starting to envelop the area as if I'm in a movie. The strong smell of coffee lingers in the air, as well as the freshness of the trees after a night rain. It's almost comforting in a way. Pumpkin patches will be open next month. Apple cider will stock the shelves at the closest grocery store, and I can actually use the fireplace in the living room. As I continue to run past morning walkers, I can't help but smile. Maybe living here again won't be too bad. It's changed so much since I left for college, and there are recent developments that I've yet to explore. I'm finally slowing down as I near the front steps to my parents' home. It's an old three-story house that sits in a quiet neighborhood with each house stacked next to each other, like townhomes. The house is made of aging red brick and black accents. My parents have lived here ever since I moved to college, but I've only visited for the holidays. They used to live in the neighborhood a couple of blocks away, but once I moved out, they got their jobs at the nearby university, bit the bullet, and moved down the road. They used to commute to a different college for their work before they applied to work at Yale University. Now their house is 10 minutes away from campus. They can walk to work if they really need to, but my parents never wake up late. They're usually up before the neighborhood is. My steps falter a little as I slow down and walk up the steps, my legs beginning to feel like jello from my run. I reach for the small zipped pocket in the back of my leggings for the house key. The door creaks loudly as I make my way inside. The smell of coffee wafts my way as I shut the door and pull my headphones off my head and let it dangle around my neck. Eliana, that you?
My mother's voice drifts down the hall as I kick off my running shoes at the front area in our own makeshift mudroom. I decide to pull the headphones off me and place them on a free hook near the other jackets.
Yeah, just me, I shout back.
There's a clattering of plates from where my mother is deep in the house. I follow the noise down the dimly lit hallway that rarely gets any sunlight. Pictures of my parents and I litter the walls, and some antiques sit on top of dressers and small tables that line the hallway. I enter the kitchen, brightness finally coming into view from the chandelier above. I see my mother fixing up eggs in a pan, and she turns to see me standing there, still catching my breath.
Sit. I made toast, eggs, and coffee. If you want some bacon, you'll have to make it yourself.
Her tone is clipped as her dark hair swishes around her shoulders, and she turns back to the pan and scrambles the eggs. Her porcelain skin glistens under the chandelier lights, and her expensive golden bracelets jingle against each other.
Thanks. Where's Dad?
I ask as I trudge toward the kitchen island and take a seat on one of the cushioned bar stools. The walls in this room are stark white with gold accents. The cabinets are a nice light cream color, and the stainless steel appliances in every corner make this kitchen seem like out of a catalog. Pristine and clean, just like my mother.
He's in his study checking emails, looking over a syllabi before he heads in for a meeting with the rest of the department. Did you hear the good news? He's the new department chair.
I nod and reach for the glass sitting on the island and drag it closer to me before picking up the pitcher. There's a small cup of chopped lemons ready to squeeze. I pour myself a glass before popping a lemon quarter into the cold water. I take a long gulp. I forgot to bring a water bottle on my run, unfortunately.
That's great for him, really. I forgot the semester begins soon, right?
My mother nods and then turns the knob off for the stove before heading towards me with the pan. I move quickly to grab the plate she set aside for me and lift it for her to plop a portion of the eggs into it. There's a pile of toast near her, and she lifts one gingerly in between manicured fingers before placing it next to my eggs. The expression on her face turns sour for a millisecond, but I still catch it. There's a part of me wanting to ask her what I did now that upset her with our simple interaction, but I know better. I give her a weak smile before she makes her own plate and one for my father.
Yeah, 3.5 weeks, and then it will be a madhouse here. You know the drill. Papers everywhere. Us stuck either in our offices on campus or here.
I nod. I use a fork to start scooping scrambled eggs onto the piece of toast.
Does Dad usually meet this early with his department? I'd think they'd meet before classes started. Couldn't it be an email?
She laughs almost condescendingly, her green eyes sparkling.
No, honey. Carlos would rather meet in person than do an email. You know him.
I nod because I know I really do. As much as he loves calling and texting me, he cherishes the face-to-face encounters more. But Florida was too far for me to do that. There were times where I regretted moving to a college so far away where I couldn't visit him whenever I wanted to.
Why don't you take his plate to him?
She asks, pushing it across the island. I take a few bites of the eggs on toast before nodding and grabbing the plate. I hop off the stool and make my way back down the hall and then take a sharp right. There's a shorter hallway that leads to a bathroom, a bedroom, and an office. My mother's office is on the second floor where their master suite is and a guest room. The third floor is just for me, like its own apartment. It has access to the roof, a huge closet space as big as a room, a suite for the bedroom, and its own private bathroom. The only thing it's missing is a kitchenette. Once I find myself in front of the office, I lift my hand and tap my knuckles against it 5 times.
Come in,
a voice calls. I twist the door handle and push until I'm inside. I allow my eyes to adjust to the different lighting as I take in my dad, scratching his head and leaning over a stack of papers. "Breakfast is served," I call out as I walk towards him and push the plate on his desk. He looks up and nudges his glasses up the bridge of his nose before smiling. His brown eyes find mine and he grabs the plate.
"Thanks, Princesa. How was your run?"
I retreat a few steps before taking a seat in one of the leather chairs in front of this massive desk. I fiddle my fingers over my lap. It went well, really familiarizing myself with the fresh additions to the neighborhood. He nods before eating some eggs and taking a bite out of the toast.
"Wow, your mother really knows how to make the simplest foods taste extravagant."
I roll my eyes at his nirvanic words. He's always full of them. I'm convinced it's his academic brain that never stops taking over. He told me I looked exquisite and posh when I twirled in the living room in my prom dress years ago. It was a frilly blue dress that looked like a peacock, with the train in the back touching the ground and extending outwards. I shudder briefly at the memory of the horrible dress choice.
"I heard you have a meeting today. You ready for school?"
I wiggle my brows. He lets out a laugh before shaking his head.
"I've done this plenty of times. The first day of school doesn't get to me anymore, Princesa."
He shovels another forkful of eggs before swallowing and clearing his throat. He wipes his hands over his mustache before pushing his glasses up against his nose again.
"You want to tell me something?"
I drum my fingers over my knees. He nods. I can always tell when he's about to suggest a way I can better my life or lecture me. I'm hoping for the former. I'm not in the mood for a lecture.
"Your mother and I talked last night."
His voice trails off before his eyes lift to mine. I wait for him to continue, but he doesn't.
"And what did you guys talk about?" I press.
I've got an inkling that I'm here for a reason and not just to give him breakfast. But knowing my dad, I have to pull it out of him. He sighs before folding his arms over his chest and leans back in his chair.
"She wants you to find a job."
I scoff before standing up in haste. He watches my movements.
"Did she really say that? Do you have a say in any of this?"
He presses his lips into a thin line before shrugging.
"I think she's right. You've been here since May and have yet to find something to do. I love having you here, believe me, but your mother thinks it's unproductive of you to just waste your days doing nothing."
"I do something," I bite back.
His eyes soften and I loosen my body, knowing I shouldn't take my anger out at him. He's just the messenger.
"I've tried to apply for jobs. They're all still fully staffed or have the students coming back to campus with secured spots waiting for them."
"I've tried. Believe me." He nods and is silent for a moment.
"You can apply for medical jobs as well, not just retail or whatever else you're applying for."
I shake my head. I'd rather work for the worst retailer than think about that. That's not an area I want to work in anymore. I told you the whole medical career path wasn't for me, and I'm done with it.
"Which we still don't understand. It promised a wonderful future, a good life, stable."
"Yeah, but I wasn't happy."
"You're not telling us everything,"
he starts, placing a hand over his chest.
"But you need to tell us enough so we can support you and understand you."
I shake my head and laugh.
"She'll never understand.
She's only thinking about your future."
"To be a neurosurgeon? To be like Grandpa? Aunt Beatrice? I don't think so. She shouldn't put that pressure on me when she's a goddamn professor,
not even a neurosurgeon herself. I'm tired of having those expectations put on me. I want to do something that brings me joy.
Well, what does then?
His question catches me off guard. What does? How the hell would I know? I spent 5 years of my life thinking medicine was something I wanted to do. I wasted those years on a career that didn't suit me anymore. I don't know, I admit. He hums before lifting the fork again and finishing the eggs and toast. He looks at me once he's finished, and I continue to stand there, watching.
What?
He pinches his brows. She told you something else. Just like how he can tell when I'm leaving out important parts of why I moved back home, he's leaving out parts of the conversation he had with his wife. He clicks his tongue against his teeth before sighing again.
She wants you to decide.
Decide what?
She wants you to find a job in 2 weeks, and if you do, we'll fund you to move out on your own.
Or, I ask, because I know this is an ultimatum, and there's always an or when it comes to my mother.
Or,
he starts,
she wants you to go back to school, find a new career path to dive into, so to speak.
My jaw goes slack, and I widen my eyes. I sit back down in the chair and feel the air get punched out of my lungs. My fingers grip the armrest of the chair and squeeze. I attempt to calm my breathing.
Honey,
he asks with a crack in his voice. You're giving me an ultimatum? He shakes his head and laughs.
God, princesa, no. This isn't an ultimatum. It's a chance to change your life around.
I roll my eyes. A chance to change my life? They're treating me like a case in a TED Talk. I'm not their charity case to dissect and control. My eyes slowly glance above my father's head towards the back of his office, where a few Egyptian artifacts stay on display in a glass case. There's a replica stone statue of the god of divine retribution, Amit, sitting right in the center of the case. The scales of balance dressed in gold sit right next to the statue. The scales of Ma'at, the goddess of truth and justice, staring right down at me. Since he's a professor in Egyptology, I am well-versed in the artifacts he's got around his office. Maybe a little too familiar. It for sure gave me nightmares as a kid, but now I just flip the scales off, and the statues too, whenever I pass the office. I once thought it was cool that my dad was this smart guy who loved to study Egypt and its history, but it got old fast. Especially when my mother found it as an opportunity to scare me whenever I misbehaved. I'm not sure a new career path will change things. How different will it be from when I left pre-med? I scoff. I don't want to add that there is something inside me pulling at the possible idea of starting fresh. This is what I wanted, right? To quit feeling sorry for myself and not feel tied down to my mother's incessant controlling ways. Maybe this might do me some good. He shrugs and gives me a pained smile.
I'm just telling you what she told me. You have 2 weeks.
And with that, he lifts the plate and pushes it towards me. I take it with force before turning on my heel and closing his office door. I stomp down the hallway towards the kitchen. My mother is gone, and my plate is gone as well. I wasn't done eating. I press my lips together and keep a scream down. If I have 2 weeks to find a job, then fine. I'll find a job and stick it to her. I drop Dad's plate into the sink before heading towards the front of the house where the stairs are. I run up them as quickly as I can to the third floor, making my steps light so my mother doesn't hear. Once I'm on my floor, I push through the suite doors and shut them closed. I lean against them, my forehead pressed to the hard wood. I take a deep breath and allow my body to shudder and let the tears fill my eyes. I've tried since I moved back here to find a job, and I wasn't lying to my dad. A lot of places weren't hiring, or were simply reserving space for returning college students. I picked the wrong town to move back to. I take a deep breath before turning around and gathering my things to take a shower. I'll go out again and scout for more jobs. I feel my phone buzz in the mesh pocket on the side of my pants. I pull it out and see my mother texted. Diabla. The History Museum is opening a new exhibit for Egypt next month and is having an event tonight for early access. They've invited your father and the Department of Egyptology alongside other universities. Join us, 7 p.m. I reread the text and rolled my eyes. It's never a suggestion with her. Never has, never will be. I guess I'll have to go to that as well after I go job hunting. Another text rolls through and I take a peek. It's from my mother, again. Diabla, show up for him. Chucking my phone on the bed, I head into the bathroom to rinse off this morning's run and nuisance. If only it were that easy. Now I'll have to show up tonight and play pretend as the perfect daughter who's still on track to be a neurosurgeon, so my parents' reputation remains intact. Needing the instant distraction, I turn the shower on and immediately step inside, allowing the icy cold water to hit my skin. 2. Eliana. My phone shows 7:15 p.m. as I near the steps of the History Museum. There aren't that many people walking inside, so it's either not that big of an event or I'm late. The gold dress around my legs ruffles in the slight breeze as I walk up the steps and head towards the doors. The noise of people talking and announcements filter the air as I head inside. Whoa, it's almost packed. It looks like a fuck ton of historians and carbon copies of my dad with glasses and business suits. I hold myself back from turning around and leaving. I take a deep breath and remind myself who I'm here for. As I wait in a small line to check in, I survey the scene to see who I might recognize. There isn't anyone I know, and I can't find my parents in the lobby. Once it's my turn, I tell the security my name and they let me through. Before I can make my way towards a table in the far right where there are refreshments waiting, I feel a tug on my elbow. I jolt and turn around, letting out an exasperated breath.
Anna! You made it! I swore you would have stayed home!
My best friend since middle school, Lena, screams as she pulls me in for a hug. I widen my eyes and hug her back.
I didn't know you'd be here. What are you doing here?
Releasing me from her grasp, her eyes are wild as she studies me. Her curly black hair bounces as she squeals and holds my shoulders. She's wearing a similar dress to mine, floor length with shoulder straps and a tight bodice. Her arms are full of golden bangles that complement her sun-kissed skin tone.
Of course I'd be here, silly. I thought your dad told you.
She waits as I scrunch my nose and shake my head.
I'm his student. Well, his graduate assistant.
I knew my dad had assistants every year, but it never occurred to me Lena might be one. I knew she went to Yale and was getting her master's in the same department as my dad. It makes sense, though, that this would be something she applied for. Lena is the hardest worker I know, and always trying to do her best in her academics. It doesn't hurt that the GA program pays for her tuition and gives her a stipend. Lena and I tried our best to stay connected throughout the 5 years I was gone. She visited a few times during the first four, and we spent almost every holiday catching up. But the last year was so stressful figuring out if medical school was really for me that I couldn't keep up communication with anyone.
Oh, great! I choke out.
I try to force a smile, but she sees right through me.
I know it's been a while since we last caught up, But this is great. It's so nice to see you. It feels like it's been forever.
I nod. The guilt rips through me that I should have done more. Should have called or even texted her when I needed to talk or someone to vent to. It wasn't fair to either of us. She doesn't seem to notice my despair as she smiles and pats my shoulder before looping her arm around my elbow.
I'll take you to your parents. They're in the exhibit already. Your dad loves it so far.
I let her drag me throughout the lobby of the museum until we step inside the Egyptian exhibit. It's darker in here, and I can see copious tall statues of gods and goddesses lining the room. It looks like it goes deeper in the museum, with hallways and crevices that probably have more artifacts and information. She makes a beeline to a well-dressed couple. My parents.
Mr. and Mrs. Haros, I found her!
Lena shouts as they turn around and they both smile at Lena. I grimace as I see my mother's eyes catch mine and she glances at my outfit.
That wasn't what I picked out for you.
She looks great, honey. You look beautiful, princesa, my father says quickly.
He has his arm around my mother's waist, and she's decked out in an expensive red dress that swoops to the floor, and her dark hair is pinned up. Dad is wearing a tuxedo with a handkerchief the same color as my mother's dress. They look cute, but I don't tell them.
It was the same color as yours. I wanted to stand out. I think I look great.
I twirl the fabric of my dress to make my point. Lena nods.
She looks amazing, Mrs. Haros.
I give Lena a thankful smile, and she winks.
Well, I guess that's fine,
my mother finally says before turning back around and studying the artifacts in front of her. Dad gives me a weak smile before mouthing he loves me and turning back towards her.
All right, I think I have to check in with a few other professors, but I'll be back.
Lena says as she releases my elbow. I register her words too late before I can pull her back. She's already leaving towards another area in the room. I look around and realize I still don't know anyone. Before I know it, I'm heading back out of the exhibit and making a beeline for the refreshments table again. I see a small cocktail tray with various drinks and pick one up that looks like a gin and tonic and take a sip. Not bad. I take another to keep my hands busy as I head back towards the exhibit. I hold the cups close to my chest as I study the pieces carefully around the room. My parents are nowhere to be seen, and neither is Lena. I'm near the replica of the pyramids when I feel a big shadow next to me. I turn and have to crank my neck up to see who it is. A man much older than me peers at the pyramids, but I can feel the fabric of his sweater slightly touching my bare arm. I hitch my breath as I continue to stare, admiring the crook of his nose. His beard is speckled with salt and pepper strands, as well as his hair. His tan skin looks perfect under this dim lighting. His Adam's apple bobs as he swallows, and the simple act makes heat pool in my belly. He looks handsome, and I squirm in my place as he finally turns his head and peers down at me. There's a twinkle in his brown eyes, and he presses his lips firmly together.
"Pyramids of Giza," he murmurs.
It takes a second for me to realize he's talking to me. It feels like my throat is closing in on itself as he continues to look my way. He sidesteps a little closer so the cashmere fabric presses directly on my arm. I shudder from the soft contact, and his eyes crinkle as he smiles slowly. Even his teeth are perfect.
"What?"
I stutter. My hands with the drinks move a little more up my chest, and it feels like I'm stuck, unable to move under this handsome stranger's gaze.
"The pyramids,"
he says again, gesturing his head towards the display in front of us.
"They're the pyramids of Giza."
"Oh, right," I meekly replied.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?